Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens December 6th, 2022 Actuarial and Underwriting Committee webinar that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene immediately following the Finance and Investment Committee and will be recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. For those attending today's session through the public link, you are automatically in listen-only mode. Panelists, thank you for identifying yourself prior to addressing the committee. Chair Baruff, we have no speaker requests for today's meeting. I'll proceed with roll call. Chair Baruff. Here. Governor Becksmith. Here. Governor Lydecker. Here. Board Vice Chair Thomas.
Here.
Technical Advisor Fred Strauss.
Present.
Chair, you have a quorum.
All right. You're up. Oh, no, we have to get the prior meeting. Somebody's make a motion to approve the prior meeting minutes.
So moved. Second.
Meetings are approved. And now, Ms. Booten.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
I have four items today. The first is the actuarial and underwriting charter review, which we bring forward every year, and we're not making any recommendations for change. Get a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the product updates for December 2022. At the July 2022 meeting, the Actuarial and Underwriting Committee discussed recommendations regarding roof eligibility and asked staff to further evaluate the renewal process. So we've updated the original recommendations slightly for today's approval. Senate Bill 2D passed during special session 2022D introduced statutory language prohibiting an insurer from non-renewing homeowners policies insuring residential structures with newer roofs solely for age. And for residential structures with older roofs, the insurer must allow the policyholder the opportunity to provide an inspection indicating at least 5 years remaining useful life. The insurer may not refuse to issue or non-renew a policy or require a roof replacement based solely on roof age if this inspection indicates that the roof has 5 years remaining useful life. So for roofs that are over citizens' maximum age, which are currently 2550, the current rules require inspections demonstrating 3 years remaining useful life and deeming a policy ineligible when the expected remaining useful life falls below the three. So we start non-renewing two. Additional policy renewals may be allowed when a new roof inspection showing at least 3 years. The other thing we do currently today is allow three and another three multiples of those. So what we're recommending is going to 2040 on roof age, which is included in the next section, and then a one-time 5 year based upon the inspection that the consumer brings forward. But that doesn't mean you're in for 5 years. We still can non-renew if there are conditions, and we'll conduct an inspection of our own in either year four or three to ensure that roof is still in good condition. And the
may I ask a question?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
I really like what you're reporting and I see it out there in the marketplace. But after the first 5 years, if a inspector were to say, boy, your roof is still in terrific shape, do they then have to sell it? Do they have to then replace the roof?
Yeah, our goal was to get allow only one. Now, on the soft roofs. On the hard roofs, it gets a little, there could be exceptions to that because of the condition lasting longer. But on soft roofs, we were trying to hold firm on the 20, it would be 25 years, basically.
Okay, and I'm sorry, you used the term soft roof.
Yes, so the 20 is for soft roof types, shingle, asphalt, those types of roofs, whereas the hard roofs would be the metal, clay, concrete. And those we're recommending moving from 50 down to 40 and allowing exceptions on those if they can prove beyond the one-time extension that there is still remaining useful
life. Okay, so I'm clear then. After 5 years, soft roofs, no exceptions.
Correct.
Now, just this is more theoretics just for a moment, but so as a new member, what do they do then if they'll still need, let's say this is South Florida, they still need a roof. They still need insurance. What are we doing? I mean, well, we're clearly forcing him to get a roof, yeah, right?
Yeah, right. Correct, or surplus lines.
Okay. I guess, you know, I just, I don't like the, you know, room for exceptions. Maybe yeah. that's the best way to put it. Notwithstanding what you're trying to accomplish here and try to, you know, try to drive a best practices process amongst consumers to have the roofs fully prepared for a hurricane, which seems to be happening more and more frequently. But it does present a hardship to a number of people. So I know you've thought about that a lot, and that yeah. this is the end product of a lot of discussions.
It is, and this is a stronger stance currently than it sort of is and sort of isn't in some ways, because the 3 is an easier bar to get through. 5 is harder bar to get through, so that makes it harder.
But you're being flexible because you're going from 3 to 5.
Yeah.
Am I thinking about that right?
Well, on an inspection, it could be harder to get the initial 5 as well, that instead of 3. 3 is a little lower bar to actually get it. Mm-hmm. So there's some also.
Let me ask you this then. How is this relative to what, and I'm presuming you have some sense of this, and I may be wrong, what you see on the private sector?
Well, the private sector is typically 20 or less, and with this rule, they have to now can't just solely make someone ineligible because of roof age. So they, at a minimum, would be 15 plus 5. So that's a 5 years difference. But there's other conditions that they probably would use for eligibility reasons other than roof age. Okay, so there's that. And then also, there is ACV that comes into play, which we aren't recommending going to ACV. They could offer an ACV policy with a roof schedule as well, and some of them are doing that.
And we can't do an ACV schedule?
We can't make it mandatory.
What about as an option? If you don't, my question is really this. If you can't, you're not in a financial position as a consumer to buy a new roof mm-hmm. that might cost $5,000 or more, and you're at the 5-year mark, but there's clear life in the roof based on what an inspector would be saying. You know, surplus lines is a tough go. If you don't have the money for the roof, there's a good chance you may not have money for surplus lines option. Would it make sense, and again, I think I'm at the end of this process when I'm asking this question, to create an option that says, okay, we can do it, but then it's, let's just agree on it's going to be on an actual cash value basis.
Right. Our claims department's not in a favor of that. And we've met with both Governors Becksmith and Governor Butts, who have the same question, too, about ACV and could it be an option for us for these types of conditions. The thought is that that could lead to additional litigation. And the policyholder who can a lot of times barely pay for the roof with the coverage that they would get today would even have less coverage should they need to replace their roof and wouldn't be able to afford to do it. So then the roof condition becomes another problem that we're having to deal with.
Could you agree on, and Josh, you probably know, I can't remember these terms anymore.
Sounds like.
What is it for actual cash value where you agree on what the ACV will be in advance so there's no dispute?
You want?
Go ahead.
Well, you're just talking about a depreciated value
right.
on it from an ACV, but an agreed upon schedule.
I thought there was a, back in the day, I'm going back 25 years now, but there was a amendment, an endorsement you can put on a policy that would be an agreed value.
It'll schedule what we've seen.
Agreed value.
We've seen it schedule, and it says, okay, your roof's going to, it's no different than a windstorm deductible that you're, once the policy's in place for a certain amount of time, it's an eroded share, if you will.
You know, one of the things we talked about, too, is I don't know if this subject's going to be up at special session or not next week. I know that the roof subject has been a topic, and right now we can't make it mandatory. If there's an option to make it mandatory, then I think we should should consider it, and I think we'll be forced to consider it if the rest of the market goes there anyway.
Yeah,
so
are we talking, when you say the rest of the market goes there anyway, are you referring to offering
market.
An ACV,
right.
attempted
yeah.
ACV?
Right.
I understand it's for sure more, it's for sure more difficulty from a claims
right.
you know, perspective. But if you can have some type of agreed value and the consumer can sign off on it, surplus lines is really not a very attractive option. And I know we want to get the roofs first fixed. So, don't let anything I say suggest that the underlying thought process behind the recommendations that are being made aren't really thoughtful and, appropriate. It's just that the lack of optionality
right.
for consumers always hits me,
That's
wrong.
Our struggle is is being there for people and yet having property that's in a good condition that, protects our interests as well. Would you be okay with moving forward with this direction, bringing forward and after session next week, we'll see the outcome, and if the ACV is allowed to be mandatory, that could be an approach that we bring forward. We also have the wind hail deductible in here, but that's not going to solve this problem. That's just another policyholder option to reduce cost.
Mr. Chairman, if I could recommend for consideration, I think we should go forward as presented, but I think we should actually make a statement as a board that we are very interested in creating optionality for the consumer post the five-year mark using actual cash value or some additional flexibility for consumer that we're not forcing him to buy a roof or forcing him into the surplus lines market. And I actually think that could be helpful relative to the special session so that doesn't come up as an example of where we might be viewed as being rigid to the consumer. Because I know that's not what the goal is here and
right.
what we're trying to do. But I think that flexibility is something you ought to consider, and subject to next week's legislative session, then maybe we could revisit this.
Okay.
Any other comments?
Can I ask a couple questions just real quick? This is only on new business, correct?
Correct.
This is not
this
on
is
renewals.
New business.
What are we doing about the instances that we've had this past 12 months where we had six carriers go under, we assumed a bunch of policies? Is that going to be treated as new? Is that treated as renewal? Because could we get into an instance then if FedNat, for instance, or whatever, one of the six, goes out, their rules are different than what Citizens has. Could that preclude Citizens then from taking on those policies?
Well, what we do with those, we do loosen up the underwriting rules a tad on insolvent carrier policies that come to us with existing damage. And then we make them sign a form that acknowledges that there's prior damage or there's prior conditions. And if they have a contract, I'm kind of mixing a couple subjects here, but if they have a contract in place and can prove that they have it, we'll let them in for, depending upon the roof condition, 60 days, it has to be resolved within the 60 days of the underwriting. The first 90 days we can non-renew, not select that policy. So 60 or 90 depending, and sometimes we let go for an entire year and then set them up to non-renew the following year. So we have some lenience there is the point
right.
on things that come to us through insolvencies.
And just to clarify, going back to the dates, you said something, I think currently we're at 25, but you said 3 plus 3 plus 3. So theoretically, if I have a roof inspector come out and I'm currently with Citizens at 25 years, I can now go to 28 years. Can I go to 31 years with another inspection?
Well, in those
currently,
currently you could get there if it was in really good condition, but
yeah.
we would do our own inspection and usually there's going to be a condition.
Okay. So effectively, we're trying to take this from 28 to 25. Is that
to 20?
Fair? Well, 25
well,
20 to 20 with,
the
a,
five
with a good inspection, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 25.
But I think the key here, this is a whole scenario only applies in the context of if we wanted to make a decision on a roof based on age and age alone. So if, for example, just because someone comes to us with a report that says it has a 5-year useful life, nothing about that prevents us, if we so chose, to do our own inspection and say, no, it doesn't have a 5-year useful life. Because in that scenario, we would not be non-renewing or not writing for age only. It would be based on our actual inspection condition of the property.
Correct. Yeah. And that is the change we made to clarify this from your perspective back in July, that condition really does come into play.
Right, because I think that's all the statute speaks to. The statute speaks to if an insurer wants to non-renew or not write based on age only, the presumption being, which is generally accurate, that an older roof would be in worse condition than a newer roof, but if they want to make a decision based on age and age alone, then the consumer can prevent that from happening, in essence, by providing their own report that says, no, you shouldn't worry about it because it has whatever the requisite number is. But just because they do that doesn't mean, if we had reason to believe, that we're not able to, that we don't have to accept their report.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that those nuances, I think you all have captured pretty well.
Right. And we have reviewed this with our agent roundtable that it's a group of people we have, agents, that pay close attention to what we do and give us feedback on all of these. And we didn't get a lot of pushback on this from the agent roundtable. And Carl does webinars with our agents regularly. We had one last week and presented this, and it didn't cause a lot of consternation.
Okay. Thank
you. I'd like to add to Governor Lidecker, I agree with the direction that he's pushing. The problem where we have not a disagreement, but we have to remember that Citizens is still a value. We're inexpensive compared to the rest of the carriers. So we're already subsidizing the market. So to make ourselves more attractive is probably counterproductive to the mission, which is we're supposed to be the insurer of last resort in the state of Florida, and yet we're the 800-pound gorilla. Yeah. And I don't know if we continue down the path of making it a more consumer-friendly, does that help our cause? I'm all for more consumer-friendly, but then we need to be able to have the handcuffs off and charge the appropriate rates in the market to be competitive with the rest of the market, which is the challenges our brothers and sisters in the legislature are taking up next week in order to, when we obviously support their efforts to do what's possible to make Florida a vibrant insurance market, because we certainly are not. Everybody at this table knows that. Everybody in this room knows that. So I don't want to increase more policies that make us more attractive until in such time as we're competitive in the marketplace and can charge the correct rates to you gentlemen in the business know more than I do, but how far less expensive are our policies than normal guys? 20%?
I think 30%.
30%. So there you go. So we've got to push if we're going to offer more flexibility, like, which I agree with what you're saying, to be more consumer-friendly on the policies, then we've got to move our peg up and be able to charge the appropriate rates to stay in business. Ian was not a significant storm in my book. I was born in Florida in 1958, so I've seen a few. So if it had been a significant storm, it was significant to Fort Myers, no question. But if it had been Dade County, downtown Miami, at a Category 5, we'd have a sip. Or hell, if it had gone up Tampa Bay, we'd be writing about this for a year on a global basis. We wouldn't have enough money to cover the bills. 60 miles south made a big difference. So anyway, that's my soapbox. I'll get off it now.
But Mr. I agree with you in the sense that I think it's more than just a matter of waiting to see what maybe the legislature does about actual cash value. We then would need to see what the market does with it, because I would not want us to find ourselves in a position that we're offering something that is better than what the rest of the market has decided just because we have the option to do it. So I think it's kind of what does the legislature let us do, and then what is the market doing? I don't care to be a market leader in any respect in terms of product offering. So
I would tell you that I think the majority of the market, both on the personal and commercial, and Charlie, please jump in here too, I'd say that they're looking at now 15 years. Anything over 15 years, they'll accept it, but it's actual cash value. So you're not getting your $10,000 roof, $20,000 roof. You're getting a much depreciated, which is just like everything else. You own a car, you get in a wreck, it's 10 years old, they're not buying you a brand new car.
And they shouldn't be.
Right, yeah, no, and absolutely,
we shouldn't be.
Absolutely. Right, correct. Absolutely.
I agree.
Okay. So A couple other things on this. We will definitely come back on the ACB topic. We also included in here an optional wind, storm, or hail deductible. The product, this is making non-hurricane, using a concept similar to the hurricane deductible, whereby we have another deductible that equals the hurricane deductible for wind and hail. Instead of using the all other perils deductible, this would be an option for policyholders again. And the rate for this will be brought forward in the March board meeting when we bring the annual rate filing, because the credit would have to be offered for it. And we do reserve the right to change our minds on this if the credit for it becomes so little that nobody's going to adopt it and we go through a lot of work for no gain. But wanted to get the concept in front of you to see if we got any reaction on offering this. Okay. And then the last thing in here was just getting ourselves caught up with some email and mailing requirements from 2D. We went ahead and filed it and are implementing it, but brought it here just for historical purposes. So those are the items, and I would entertain a motion for approval.
I'll offer a motion to approve.
Thank you.
I'll second the motion.
Thank
you. All those in favor, signal by saying aye.
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 Aye. Carries. Thank you.
All right, the next one is a action item for quality management solution. And this is citizen staff is requesting approval to enter into a contract with J Lodge LLC for the purchase, implementation, and use of MyQuality, a cloud-based quality management solution. The base term will be 5 years with three optional one-year renewals. Approval is requested for a total contract amount not to exceed $1,497,325 for software implementation and associated support and services. This is Citizens Quality Team monitors and reviews call and task-based transactions for underwriting, consumer and policy services, vendor management, and agent and market services to provide employee feedback and to make recommendations for improved process performance. The team conducts calibration sessions as well with vendors. Right now, we use an internally developed application named QCenter, a solution built using Access, and it requires 1.25 resources. The cost of these FTEs is approximately $207,940, and the annualized cost of QMS is $187,166. So this is a lot more quality for a little less cost.
I make a motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman,
this is on behalf of the chairman.
Okay,
I mean, you just love this. We were deferring to you.
I'll second.
All those in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and the last one is for business process outsourcing underwriting production services. This one is completely volume-based and has no changes in contract term. When we estimated it back in 2018, it was based upon our PIF of 419 1,475 and was not anticipated to grow at the volumes we're growing. There's a table on page 2 that goes into the original projection, the number. This is based upon underwriting activities. It gets kind of complicated underneath the covers depending upon our vendor usage of our vendors to process new business, automated underwriting transactions, policy changes, all of the things. So,
but this is just to increase the spend from what's been previous because of the storms and
Correct.
The activity. I'd make a motion to approve.
A second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes my
That's
stuff.
It.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Somebody adjourn this meeting, will you?
Let's move to the garden.
Okay, meeting's adjourned.
Nice.